Amen. If you are a visitor, God bless you and welcome to Word of Life Christian Center this morning. I give a little bit more formal welcome at the end. I'm trying to get the business right now. We got some business that we need to take care of within ourselves. On the inside. Everybody say on the inside. Come on, say it again, on the inside. One more time, say it again, say on the inside. So I got to handle my business. I don't handle my business on the outside. I handle my business on, say it again, on the inside. Listen, I got to do a little reading, and we're going to do a little drill in a minute so we can understand and get some clarity on what's going on. And then we'll dig deeper into it. Ephesians chapter 4. And I start off with verse 1. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus. And he says a few things, and I want to be clear. A lot of us are familiar with this scripture because we're familiar with every joint supplies. And we're familiar also with the chapter, verse 11. It says apostles, and that's where we hear the fivefold ministry gifts. But I need you to understand who you are and what it's saying about you in this. Verse 1, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, Paul is talking, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Wherewith you are called. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness. Sounds like Jesus. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Y'all remember that? He said, come unto me, all your labor, heavily, and I give you rest. Learn, I'm meek and lowly at heart. He's saying the same thing. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So we see the one. Everybody see the one. Do you see the one? Amen. Amen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now verse 6 is what I want you to pay attention to. And we'll read it together. Let's read it together. Ready, read. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let's read it again. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Read them again. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Above all and through all and in you all. Above all and through all and in you all. I'll say it again. Above, the Father is above all, but he's through all and he's in you all. Say he's in me. And say he works through me. Yes, he is above me, but he's working through me and he's in me. The scriptures talk about your body is a temple of the Lord. What do you think that means? We just use that for a sin scripture. So we try to keep our body from doing certain things and we dumb down the scripture and we don't realize what we're saying, that our body is the temple of the Lord. That means it's the place where the Lord dwells. I just want to make sure y'all see it in the scripture, right? So nobody say my church is preaching his own thing. One God and Father of all, who is above all. Hold on. Do you fall under the category of all? Right. If I say all y'all stand up. That means a few of y'all can't sit down. Everybody needs to stand because I'm talking to all y'all. Above all and through all and in you all. Now, what happens here, you say, well, if the God is above all. We familiar with that one. That's why we call him God more than we call him Father. Good to see you, man. Good to see you back, man. That's why we call him God more than we call him Father, because we realize above. Isn't he why we lift hands in church? We recognize above. But then that through all and in you all is where we got a problem. That through all and in you all, because sometimes you don't think he can work through you. Because sometimes you don't think you know enough. You ain't been to ministry school. You not the reverend. I just got saved. You don't think he gonna work through you because you ain't good enough yet. I beg to differ. And oh no, he ain't in us all the time, because what about that time I'm acting a fool? He's still in that? Yep. Everybody say yep. Yeah. Yeah, he's still in there on that day you cuss whoever you cussed out. You was mad? Might have been this morning. Amen. God bless you in the name of Jesus. He's still in there. It's just other parts of that tree, that other tree. Tree of knowledge of good and evil got you thinking some other stuff, got you acting some other ways. That's just a part of the curse. That you can be on that when you're not in him. Are y'all listening to me? But he's above all, through all, and in you all. Right? But there's somebody in the relationship. my relationship with the Father's relationship with me, there's somebody in the relationship that I'm disrespecting. And we pay attention so much trying to please God, and you mean well, and trying to please God and see what he's going to do, and he don't want to crush you, and he don't break you down, and that's not how he acts, and he's not going to do it, but you don't, you're leaving somebody, you're disrespecting somebody else, and it's you. And so in your acts of trying to serve the Lord, you disrespect his relationship with you because you don't become a son. Scripture says, an heir, as long as he's a child, different nothing but a servant. Though he is Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the who? Not the teacher, not the boss, not the owner, but the Father. Till the time appointed of the Father. And the Father appoints the time of sonship. Now you're already a son. Say, I'm already a son. Say it again, I'm already a son. Say it again, I'm already a son. Ain't nobody in here or on the face of the earth got another spirit but the Spirit of God. He's the only life giver. He's the only one that can make life and give life. When he breathed into man and man became a living soul, even when Adam and Eve were restricted from the garden, God is still in them. He's been in us since the beginning, and he has not changed his original mind. So along the line, we lose it. So we think that he's upset, or that we're not worthy anymore, or that he's not going to use me. No, forget that. Forget that thought process. He's above all, through all, and in your, the reverence, above all, through all, and in all. The people that have been living, that they never made no mistakes, I don't know where they at. He's above all, through all, and in all. So the disrespect, we'll do a little practice real quick. You ready? I'll do this real quick. And the Lord showed me something last week. I was sitting right in the booth. Apostle preaching, and I don't know what it said, but it just clicked off something. So we'll do this right quick. You ready? Are y'all ready? Yes. If you're ready, say yeah.
Yes.
Do this real quick. Breathe in. Breathe out. There's not no Lamar's class or no meditation class or nothing like that. Just, he got him up in there breathing. Yeah, you're breathing everywhere else. Come on, breathe in real big. I breathe out. And it's obvious, and some people have seen me, it's obvious that that's air we're breathing. Right? There ain't nothing else, right? It's obvious that it's air that you're breathing, right? And it's obvious that you're going to need to keep doing that in order to live. Right? We're like, if that gets constricted, we in trouble. It is an obvious thing, and nobody really taught you how to breathe. Slapped you on your behind when you started screaming as a baby. But after that, we've been breathing ever since. We never really had a breathing class. I took a breathing class for singing and for different things that you play an instrument, but I ain't never really took no to breathe. I'm having trouble. Teach me how to breathe. No. Breathing is what they call an involuntary action. It's happening when you sleep. When you ain't even thinking about breathing, you breathing. Breathe in. Come on. Breathe out. Now you took in air, you put out air, which is, you know, it comes out a different way to feed all the trees and all the stuff. I'm going to biology class and science class, but we're not going to go that deep into that, right? But then all around me is air. It's all around me. Huh? Yeah, if it wasn't around me, then we couldn't breathe. So now it's above me. Breathe in. It's in you. Breathe out. Came through you. Can we do that? Ain't deep enough for you. All right, let's do it again. I know. It's like, can you give me a little deeper revelation? Well, you don't need nothing deeper. You deep. You don't need to get nothing deep. You the deep one. It talk about the simplicity that is in Christ. And he says, my yoke is easy. Then he says, one thing is needful. Like he's bringing it down to a simple, complex, it's a simple understanding that's so complex, but if you go to the one, you'll get it. Just break it down. So now this is something easy, breathing, right? We like, this is easy. Like, you're doing it right now. You're not even thinking about it. You're thinking about it because I'm talking about it, but you're not even thinking about it. Like, just only time you really think about it is when you're out of breath. Right.
Put your hand over your head. Right? Right? That's all I'm saying. But you was breathing when you drove here. You was breathing while you were sleeping last night. Right now you're breathing even when you answer me. Oh, that's Al. But simply with that thought process of your breathing. It's funny that in the beginning he breathed in a man, man became a living soul. Simply with that thought process of breathing, if I disrespect any one of those places, I'll suffocate. Air all around me. Come on, breathe in. Don't breathe out though. Let's hold it. Let's see how long you can hold on to life. Breathe out. Come on. I ain't trying to make nobody pass out up here because I'm going to lay hands. All right. Do this. Breathe out. Breathe all the way out. You ain't never done that before. Don't take nothing in. You gasp for air quick, right? I know. Go ahead and breathe regular now. You disrespect any one of those spots, and you'll perish. You disrespect any one of those relations with air, and you can no longer function. Your body won't even let you hold your breath that long. It's because it's beautifully and wonderfully made. Like made in the image of God. God knew what was happening. He knew if you had your choice, but you'd be the major passed out the last time you felt bad about yourself. So he said, I'm going to make it where you can't even do it. Like, I'm not even going to let that happen. I'm not even going to let that happen. Like, I'm going to click something where you're going to have to breathe. But if I disrespect one of those places. And so now, we got the part down about, I mean, we're masters at God come in and save the day. We're masters at Lord come and do this. We're masters at Lord, if it's your will. We're masters at the air up there. But we've disrespected the air on the inside of us. And it becomes a disrespect to God because he the one that put it in you. It becomes a disrespect to the Father to not be all that you are, which is equal with the Father. They got upset with Jesus because he called God. You know, before Jesus, nobody was calling him Father. Everybody was calling him God because it's an impersonal relationship. Then when we get over, Jesus started calling him Father. Like, oh, this man is talking crazy. Talking about God as his Father, because they understood, we don't understand that way now in our culture, but in that culture they understood that the Father, if you call somebody a father, it made yourself equal with who was your father. Because the Son is just a duplication of the Father. Well, literally right now, the Son is just a duplication of the Father. So now when you call somebody Father, you may, even Jesus are saying, don't call no man on earth your father. He said in Matthew, he said, don't call no man on earth your father, because, you know, and understood the concept now, because you're limiting yourself from your heavenly Father. Listen to what I'm saying to you. So now God has put God the Father. I got to keep myself safe. The Father has put himself on the inside of you. And you keep asking him to do stuff for you. Let's go check your religion this morning. I understand. Let's go check your religion. It's going to check it because we learn to keep asking God to do it. But he said, you're going to speak to the mountain. Do I got to go to all every scripture in the Bible where he's telling us what you're going to do? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. He said, if you got faith, if you believe, watch this. He says, I ain't got time to go there. He says, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you're going to do them also. And then he goes, he said, greater works you're going to do because I'm going to the Father. What is he saying right here? We've been leaving us out. The equation is already set, but we've been leaving us out. The equation is already set, but we've been leaving us out. And we've been leaving ourselves out of fear that we're going to become high-minded. Out of fear that we're going to start thinking it's all us. Out of fear that one day we're not going to be able to take instruction. No, 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 no. Jesus knew exactly who he was. Amen. Knew exactly the power that he had. Knew exactly what he came to do. But then he says, ain't nothing good but God. Then he said, I'm meek and lowly at heart. You'll find rest for your souls. See, it's a clear balance and a relationship with the Father. And a lot of times we learn Christianity, we learn religion, and we don't learn a relationship with the Father. Like, who is he really to you? And Jesus keeps telling us over and over again who he is to us and our relationship. But who is he? Remember, breathe in, breathe out. If I disrespect one of those spots and I've disrespected the Father, I'm disrespecting the air that's all around me by not taking it in. Ain't no one breath you can take. Lay your hands up. Ain't no one breath you can take that's going to last you for the rest of your life. Come on. That's the last one right there. I'm going to come up 20 years worth of breath right there. Don't exist. It's a consistent in and out. And in. And then you breathe in. And then when you breathe out something else that gives life to something else. So you can't disrespect that spot neither. The whole cycle is a process. God explains his relationship with us through the air. As he breathed in the man, and man became a living soul. It's amazing how he did that. He put that together. Pretty smart, ain't he? So now, where have I disrespected the process that he started from the beginning? So I know we ate out the tree. Now we think we smart. Then we make mistakes and realize we're not that smart. Right, anybody? Oh, you better say, yeah, allow, amen. All y'all, I said anybody, I'm just trying to give you a choice, but you know. And then what comes right after the mistake? Guilt, shame, condemnation. Now you don't think he loves you no more. Come on, y'all. Now you think you ain't good enough no more. Stupid old me, I just ain't. Now you just whatever, but it's not about the guilt and condemnation because that's just trying to take you out your identity. Above all, through all, and in you all, do you fit that category? I got to answer me. Do you fit that category? I got to answer me. Do you fit that category? Yeah. Because above you and through you and in you, right? I'm under all. So everybody say, I'm included in all. So that means he's above you, Graylin, and through you and in you. That means there's some work that he's going to do through you to show himself strong. But if we leave ourselves out, then we've cut the pipeline off. One God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And to every one of us, verse 7, look at here. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. How many? Everyone. He's trying to make it clear. How many? Everyone. Unto every one of us. Say every one of us. Everyone. Say it again. Say every one of us. Everyone. Come on, say it again. Say every one of us. Everyone. Unto every one of us is given grace. According to what? Oh, what measure you meet. The measure of the gift of Christ. Well, we know he gave us all of Christ. He didn't give us a piece of him. So he gave it all to us. He gave all of himself to us. But what's your measure in your mentality? What place do you think you play in this? Have you, I made a quick statement and it kind of shook people up, and I'm going to say it right now anyway. I looked it up the other day and there's no record where Jesus told us to praise him. Or worship him. He never walked in the room and said, I'm the man and you not. He never walked in and said, I'm it. This is the last chance you get right here. It's me. I'm the last chance you get. You bad, I'm good, so you better cling on to me. He didn't even call himself good. And so the trick is, if I put, the enemy has tricked us, if I can get you to put him on a pedestal, you'll never take him personal. Listen to what I'm trying to say. Can y'all stop being religious real quick? Everybody say amen. Can you stop being churchy and trying to figure out if I'm telling the truth or not? It's in the Bible, all right? Listen, just trust me, okay? Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. I understand the respect for the price that he paid. You don't take no, is air all around me? Go answer my question. Is air all around me? Yes. Is air in me right now? Because clearly I'm still living. Is air in me? So it can be around me and in me at the same time, right? So I can respect him as for what he's done, but still be respectful for doing the same thing that he did at the same time. It don't have to be one or the other. So just because I'm saying, okay, don't put him on a pedestal, but understand he's trying to show you who you are. You can still have respect. Matter of fact, it's disrespectful for you not letting him show you. allowing him the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you also in Christ Jesus. Allowing this mind to be in you, and how much of your mind is his mind? I don't know. I know it's all for him, but in your particular everyday action, how much is his? Yeah. All is his. Is it? What measure you meeting? Because he's giving you all the grace, but for you it's unto the measure of the gift of Christ in your consciousness. So what level does he play in the rest of everything? What level in your identity, whatever you identify yourself as, in your identity, what level does he play in your identity? Are you black first? Are you a certain, you're man or woman first? Husband, wife first? Or does your identity start with Christ? I know, y'all. I know. I understand. And does your identity start with Christ? Because all the grace is there. Everything you need is already there. Everybody say it's already done. It's already done. And I'm giving you grace according to the measure of Christ. How much of you do you identify yourself with Christ? I mean, You only making small withdrawals because that's the measure that you're meeting.
Oh, good.
You only make small, you realize the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, but you only make small withdrawals because that's the measure that you're meeting here. And so so sparingly you were? Oh. You so bountiful you were? Oh. Jesus started telling him, be it unto you according to. Then he started going to say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Right? Size of mustard seed. Then he's trying to tell you, whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out. And he ain't holding nothing back from you. However much you're willing to give, everybody want 100 for. Woo, give me. Are you willing to give 100? Am I willing to put down all other mindsets for the mind of Christ? All this stuff we didn't learn. Our biggest problem in life is unlearning the foolishness that we shouldn't have learned. Come on. The biggest problem is unlearning a bunch of stuff that's been put in us and we have not traced the origin. We have not traced the origin that put that thought in my mind and tried to tell me who I am. Where it came from. And can I trace it back to Jesus? Because if I cannot trace it back to the man that said, I am the truth, then it can't be no truth. Can I trace these feelings? I'll deal with your depression right now in the name of Jesus. When that come up on you, catch that feeling in your hand. And can I trace this back to the Father? Because if I can't trace it back to what the Father said about me, I cast it away. All of these thoughts and things that come into our minds and to our heads that are trying to identify us. If I can identify you, then I can get you to do whatever I want you to do because I told you that. Yeah. Go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I know they be doing some good work, and sometimes they ain't. And some people get free and some people don't. Everybody don't get set free in Alcoholics Anonymous because the first thing they tell you is, I am an alcoholic. I can't tell you that because you didn't come in. Did your mama have alcohol in her breast?
No.
Did you come in drinking alcohol?
No.
Did you come in taking that in? Well, that ain't who you was from the beginning. You might have fell in some alcoholism, but that ain't who you are. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. So everything is trying to identify you. Because if I can identify you, I can control you. If I can make you identify yourself with who I'm telling you you are, I can make you do whatever it is. I don't care how strong-minded you are. I can make you do whatever it is that I want you to do because I've identified, I've made you. Watch it. No. I'm not identified. I want to change this. I've made you take your power and identify yourself with what I told you you were.
Come on, sir. Good God Almighty.
So I control you now. Now you a puppet. Now, you can't stop doing that thing because they told you that's who you are.
Yes,
well, my mama was just like, nobody asked you what your mama was.
Right.
Y'all, do you and your mama breathe the same air? Do you and your mama, Your mama can't give you no air. She got to breathe on her own. You better keep breathing. If I can make you identify with something, if I can make you identify with losing, then in all your ways you'll lose. But the Father never told you that. Never called you a loser. Never called you a deadbeat. Never called you insane or crazy or useless. He never said these words to us, not the Father. I think our estranged relationship in society right now, 2018, I think in the years past, I think our estranged relationship with fatherhood as a society has made us not understand what the Father is. He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father and a loving Father that loved you before you knew you. Watch this. Not only did he love you before you knew you, but he loved you after you thought you found yourself. And then whatever mistake that you thought was so bad or whatever, he said, I'm going to love you through that too. He started talking about, I'm going to take them sins that you messed up, you thought was so bad, and I'm going to forget them. How does an all-knowing being forget something? Because he chooses to. That's love, man. Where are we identifying ourselves? Somebody keep telling me this. So I identify myself with some feelings. I feel like this, so it must be this. Well, at Word of Life Christian Center, we have an air-conditioned ministry. If you sit on that side, you kind of know. You kind of feel the spirit of the air-conditioned ministry very strong. Sometimes you feel over here, but it's really everywhere. Oh, it's right there, because see the vents. See, you're right under the portal of the air-conditioned ministry right now, so the freezing pours out in abundance. Anybody know they come to Word of Life Christian Center, you need to bring a shawl or a coat or something, right? We got the air-conditioned ministry. Shoot, I didn't talk about the air-conditioned ministry. I forgot what I was talking about. What were we talking about before that? What did I say before that? Anybody remember what I said before that? Huh? Feelings. Feelings. Okay, feelings. Everybody say feelings. So it be freezing sometimes. Tell the truth. Y'all not going to say nothing because you're not gonna say that you're not gonna say nothing, but I know you'd be like, can you tell Apostle, can we turn it down a little bit? Tell the truth, shame the devil up in here this morning. Amen. So you be feeling cold, huh? Does that mean you're an ice cube? I got a question. Will that feeling change when you leave out of here? So question, and it's getting a little cool outside, but in the summertime, it get to be about 100 degrees, whatever, but it still be 20 degrees in here, right? Yeah. You freeze it, so you didn't prepare. I'm a good member, so I know how I go up in here. I done brought my coat. You done brought a whole starter jacket up in this thing. All right, right? Because it's cold. Everybody say it's cold.
It's cold.
It's cold up in here. I know you want to say it. Go ahead and scream it right now. I know you've been wanting to say it for years. It's freezing up in here. Unless you get that out a little bit, get that out, you don't hold it in your heart. You done brought your jacket in because you're cold and you put it on and now you're a little warmer because you got your jacket. But if you walk out in that 100 degree weather with that same starter jacket on, I'm going to have to come outside and revive you in the name of Jesus, because you're going to pass out from heat stroke. So that means your feelings change from the place that you walk in and out of. Your feelings can change from your environments. Well, that ain't got nothing to do with my emotions. Your emotions work the same doggone way. I could turn on some music right now and make you feel some kind of way. Y'all know when your jam come on and it took you right back to that day. And you look around and be like, you like, and I need this right now. Where am I? Y'all know it? Because I can mess with your emotions. There are certain things that stick with you, and when you hear it, right? And then you realize, oh, I ain't there no more. Oh, that it. Jesus, I ain't over there, boy. I thought I was back over there. You ever had a dream? Huh? It's your emotion. You ain't real. You laying in the bed. But the dream got you running. And now you falling. It's a feeling. And they change. It's going to change as soon as you wake up. You might wake up breathing, sweating, might have to get yourself together. But eventually you're going to put your feet on the ground outside the bed and realize everything is okay. A lot of times that's how your struggles are, and that's how your problems are, and that's how the things that come against you. It ain't nothing but a thing that's trying to attack you and make you emotional and make you, in your emotions, act like it wants you to act. She's trying to get you to identify. All attacks are on identity. I'm going to say it again. All attacks are on identity. When Jesus just got baptized and he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to get tempted. If you look up the Greek word temptation, it means an experiment. So the Father led him into the wilderness to experiment if he really knew who he was. And what's the first thing? The enemy saw the devil come to him and start telling him and say, if thou be the Son of God. He's trying to check his identity. Now, one thing I noticed Jesus, I learned this the other night, One thing I noticed Jesus, you know, we learn, and it's true, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Right? Jesus didn't really resist him at first, though. You saw how he handled him? Because he didn't want to expose the secret. There's another scripture that says the enemy would have known that he was the one that was going to pay the price for it all. He'd have never let him get crucified, so I can't spill the beans. So maybe there's a certain way. Maybe instead of resisting, I need to answer these things. Maybe there's some situation that's come in your life that you resisted and it didn't move because you didn't answer it. It didn't come to be resisted. It came to be answered. Can I get an amen on that one, please? Can I get an amen on that one? And so they stayed fast. That thing stayed fast in your life. You ever had something that you prayed about and you resisted? You bled the blood and you put the oil and you did all that on it and you woke up and it was still there? Maybe it's because you were supposed to answer it. You gotta put some on there. Cause I ain't to that level. I'm talking about the clock, y'all. He off the clock, I'm not. We're like 30 minutes on that, 35, whatever. Just. I like my breath. Y'all better ask somebody. Verse 7. But every one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto who? Men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also but descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that descended far above all heavens, that he might feel how many things? That he might feel how many things? That he might feel how many things? He's very absolute about what he's feeling. So now verse 11. And he gave some apostles, thank God. And some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for what? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, building you up into who you really are in Christ. This is the number one goal, to show you who you are with Christ. You're one with the Father. Y'all get nervous when y'all hear the one with the Father part. You get nervous when you hear the equal with God part. Yeah, you're nervous, huh? Yeah, tell the truth. Tell the truth. It kind of rub you a little bit. Y'all know it do. It rub you, you equal with the Father. Oh, no, God is almighty. I didn't take nothing away. I didn't say he wasn't almighty. Did I say he wasn't almighty? Did I say he wasn't all knowing? He's still all around, but he's. Why can't he be almighty outside of you and in you at the same time? Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're mighty. What did I say? Lord, you're mighty. Well, you know you was Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're mighty. Come on, put your hand over here. Come on, put your hand over here. Come right here. And say, Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're mighty. Say, Lord, you're mighty in me. Come on, say it again. Say, Lord, you're mighty in me. Y'all want to sing it? I say, Lord, you're mighty. I know you ain't got to be in home. I know some of y'all ain't got no tone or pitch or whatever. It's okay. Sing it to the Lord a new song. Lord, you're mighty.
Lord, you're mighty.
In me.
In me.
That don't take nothing away from him above me. Now, he set this up. If he set it up, he know how it work. He don't want you changing his plan. Well, I know that's the truth. Knowledge of good and evil. I know better. I know a better way. No, you don't know a better way. You don't. You don't know a better way. Even though you think you know better, you don't know a better way. The number one way is yielding. It's not everything you're doing is yielding. It's yielding to the Father. You know, that's one of the hardest problems we got is to yield. Like we used to say, let go and let God. No, we hold on and scream for his help. Can't let this will go. I ain't walking in faith that much. I got to get somewhere else. Verse 13, till we all, how many of us?
All.
No, verse 13, put it on the screen so they make sure they see it. Till we, how many of us?
All.
So till we all come in. I thought you should say come into. But that thing say come. Ooh, I can't go on that trail right now. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of who? Until a perfect man, into the measure of the stature. So that means the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Tells you're measuring up to look like Christ. Until when I see you, I see Jesus. Until I see you, I see Christ. I see the anointing one and his anointing. You know, Christ, I did a little research and I just do reading. Later on in the New Testament, they started calling him Jesus Christ, right? But he really was Jesus the Christ. See, the Christ come from Christos, and it's a title, not a name. It's a title. It means the anointed one, right? And Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, you Christ and you don't know it. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to wait. Are you where you want to be anointed? Don't you? Anoint me, anointing, fall on me. I want to be anointed. Give me a deeper anointing. You are Christ. It's already on the inside of you. You get it? You just don't know it. To a perfect man, till we come into the unity of the faith and the what knowledge? See, we got the knowledge of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. We just say the knowledge of the Son of God. Until a perfect man, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we realize that we are full up from the bottom to the top with Christ. Come on, say, I am full up.
I am full up.
I know that might not be fill up, full up. Just go with me. Say, I am full up, from the bottom to the top
with Christ.
I'm going to say it again. Say, I am full up, from the bottom to the top.
Watch this.
As Christ. These are things you need to tell yourself on a daily when you go back to, well, I'm an old. No. Stand firm in who you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happens if you forget your name right now? Mm-hmm. Come on, let's I forgot it. You didn't forget your name, you forgot your address, you forgot the way you get home, you forgot your phone number, you forgot your bank account number, you don't know your debit card number no more, you don't know your PIN number for the ATM. You didn't forgot all this stuff, and I can get you to get out of it. I can get you to think that you're somebody else other than that. I can get you to think that your PIN number is another number other than the one that you picked. Right? I can get you to think that your account number is another number other than the number that was given to you. And if I can get you to think that you'll never have access to what's in your account. If I can get you to be somebody else other than who you truly are, I can never get you to, you'll never benefit from what's yours.
Amen.
John chapter 14. Before we go there, let's do something else. I'm gonna go through this real quick, cause I have to tell you who we really are. And then, see the Bible. If you read the Bible properly. In maturity, the Bible is showing you who you are and where you are outside of Christ, and it shows you who you are and where you are inside of Christ. You can see yourself in all the other characters, and then when Jesus shows up, this is who you really are. Are y'all listening to me? And he's the one that brings enablement to you in everything that you do. You can do this. You and me, and I'm in you. I'm going to show you that in a second. It's amazing that we overlook Jesus so much, and we overlook the specific things that he's telling us. Chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. The word in, and before we do it, the word in chapter 14 and 15, the word I in is in there 34 times. He keeps saying the word in, because he's trying to tell you where it's at. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Well, not so. I would have not told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Here we come. This is us. Thomas said unto the Lord, we know not where you're going. How are we going to know where you're going? And Jesus said, I am the way I'm going. You'd have paid attention to my personality. You know the way. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. So if you know me, you know the Father. Are you understanding what he's saying? Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. You think you know God, how well you know Jesus? And it's specifics of how he told us to be. And now he told us to function. And now he told us to think. And the enablement that he gave us, how well do you know this? Verse 9, well, verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, it suffices us. Jesus said to him, he just told you where the Father was. Just told you. Just for yourself, sometimes people don't trust a man of God because, well, he a man just like me. That don't take nothing from him. That's actually you putting yourself on a lower pedestal. And so when you look yourself in the mirror, you don't trust yourself. You don't trust him when they get over there. I need somebody to lay hands on me. I need somebody to send a prayer up for me because I don't know if my prayers are reaching it. We had a joke one time. I think we were young. We were younger, and I don't know if it's Darnell. Somebody was praying. We had the whole table, so they had to do that. He'll sit there, and right before the time, he said, "I am not sure you pray. You just on the spot right then. Like you got to pray over the meal. Don't be talking about just in the regular day. Over the meal." All right, so you got to pray. So I think he hit Darnell that day. Darnell was younger. He had never really done it before, so you know he's nervous. And he prayed, but it was kind of like, I don't really know about this prayer. And then so Dad jumped in and finished the prayer off. And Leroy Jr. made a joke talking about, yeah, Dad had to get, take your prayer and finish lifting it on up to heaven. Because y'all know if you remember that? I don't know y'all remember that. He had to take it and finish lifting it on up to heaven because it ain't reached. That was so funny, man. I remember that bunch years ago. Right? That's funny. That's how you be praying. Well, you know, if you pray for me, then it's going to get done. Says who? Well, if you can lay your hands on me, it'll get done. Even the woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he said, woman, your faith made you whole. We just leave ourselves out. We be leaving ourselves out. We be downplaying ourselves, and we don't give ourselves the credit of being in the family. We in the family. Say, I'm in the family. Come on, say it again. I am in the family. And the family in me. Believest thou not, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth where? In me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sakes. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask, how? Not on my name, not with my name, in my name. Remember now, a name is a character. It's a personality. It is an identity. So if you ask anything in my identity, Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, and that the Father may be glorified, well, in the Son. You see where it's in the Son, not around the Son, not for the Son, in the Son. Everybody say in the Son. Verse 14, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give another comforter. Who is that? That he may abide with you forever. Okay, now I got that with you, right? Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth where? With, I don't say in yet, because he dwelleth where? With you. He with you. And shall be. Where's the Holy Ghost? But if I'm just listening for him out here, if I'm just listening for him out here, oh, I'm going to do it again. If I'm just listening for him out here and I'm not realizing that he's talking to me in here, then I misplaced, like dialing the wrong number. The answer on the other end of the line, but you're not picking up the phone. Shall be in you. Whew. Jesus is clear about this. Tell me you can't hear nothing out here. Stop doing either or. Ain't no either or. You get it? Ain't no either or. We either out there, no, he everywhere. We call him omnipresent. Don't we call God omnipresent? You know, we use them deep words. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Right? Well, how he everywhere and ain't in here? Ladies and gentlemen, we placed him everywhere else but inside. Come on, can we agree with that? Can like, and I know you might have heard it and said, well, I've been trying to do it. No, I'm not trying. I ain't talking about trying no more. This is who you are. You're trying to breathe. I'm trying to breathe. No, you're not. You're breathing right now. Everybody breathe in, breathe out. You're breathing right now. It's involuntary. Your oneness with the Father is involuntary as well, but you volunteered for something else. See, the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, is showing us decisions that we make on a daily basis. We're choosing knowledge of good and evil over life all day long. Watch this. And so because we're choosing that, it seems like it's a voluntary, it seems like it's something that we got to try to do. We got to try the word of God. We got to try to please God. We got to try to be in the will of God. No, it's actually knee-jerk to you. It is who you are. Like, you can't change that. That's my new witnessing tool. I'm going to witness to people and say, you know what? The Spirit of God is in you, and he's your Father, whether you want it or not. And you can't change that. You might as well yield to it, yield to the truth of who you are. Are y'all understanding me? And he gets explicit with it right here. He says, verse 18, I will not leave you confidence. I will come to you in a little while, and the world see me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. You're going to see me, so because I live, you're going to live also. You see me, so because I live, you're going to live also. And verse 20, read it. Ready, read. You shall know. Huh? Not guessing. See, the serpent come in and said, if you eat from this tree, you're going to be just like God. You didn't know you was like him already? So now right at that particular moment when you heard that thing, you second guess. You ever heard something? You were ever so sure about something, but you let somebody talk in your ear and then you got unsure about it? But you were so sure. You had got your word. And you were sure about your freedom. But then you let somebody else talk to you about what they think. Or how their system works. And they begin to talk to you about what they think and how their system works. Before you know, you're double-minded, unstable in all your ways. Simply because you took somebody else's word over the Father's word. In that day, at that day, you shall know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. That's putting it, say, if A equals B and B equals C, then C equals A. Yeah. Come on, I know it's not a difficult. Oh man, we're too good without. Let's stop, stop. If A is 20 and A equals B, then B must be 20. And if B equals C, then C must be 20. So that means C and A equal, because what's in the middle equal two. I'm in the Father, you in me, and I'm in you. Equality. Flip over to chapter 15 real quick. I got to tell you a time that's coming in a minute. And it's going to shake you up a little bit, but we'll be okay. Chapter 15, verse 1, I'm the true vine. All right, and it's clear that he's saying I'm the true vine, which means there are other vines too. Huh? There's other vines that you can abide in. There's other fruit that you can bear. Right, they look like trees too. They got roots and all that. Sometimes it's them crazy thoughts you got in your head. They didn't took root and all that. But he says, he makes it clear, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch where? In me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4. What does it say? Abide, live, dwell, stay. Take up residence in me. But not only you do that in me, but it says what? And I in you. One ship. Everybody say one ship.
One.
Come on, say it again. Say one ship.
One ship.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide where?
In the vine.
In the vine. Now, here's the thing. You in the vine whether you like it or not. But you're not living there.
Come on.
Who else child can you be? Come on, girl. Who else child can you be? Can you be anybody else child but God's? Is there any other father?
No.
He the only one, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
So you in the family regardless, but if you don't take the benefits of being in the family, you'll never produce what the family is supposed to produce. So you in the tree already, whether you like it or not. That's the reason that you're here. You're a branch. Say, I'm a branch. But if you don't realize you are branch and you don't take everything from the true vine and you don't abide and live and take your dwelling and make your livelihood and make everything that you are about the true vine, then you won't bear fruit in the vine. Although you're in it regardless. You ain't pick where you came and who whatever. God set that up. The sovereignty of God set up where you at. So abide in me and I in you, as the branch itself cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide where? I am the vine, you are the branch. He keeps saying over and over again, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's what you want, huh? You want fruit, right? Can I give you a good tip? It's an easy tip. It's simple. If you're not bearing no fruit, you ain't abiding in the right place. We don't need tell me, can I get a counseling session? No, you don't need a counseling session. Do you see fruit? No, check where you're living. Check where you're abiding. Check where your mind is the most. Well, I need you to pray for me. No, you don't need my prayers. You need to check your mind. If I pray for you to change without your permission, it's witchcraft. Pray for me. No, I need another P. I need your permission. If I pray for you for something to happen to you without your permission, without you permitting yourself to be that, witchcraft.
Come on.
If verse 6, if a man abide not in me, is cast forth of the branch and withered away, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7 is our favorite one, right? Huh? Verse 7, read it. If. It means you got a choice. Huh? It means you got a choice, huh? If ye abide in me, and my words abide where? Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me, and I in you. Whatever you will, It's going to be done because whatever you will is going to be my will. Lord, if you can't let this cup pass, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. So well, you are actually the will of Father. You're the living will of the Father. No, you're the alive, when you get up and walk out of here, you're going to be walking out here as the will of the Father. Like you his will. The place that we've been leaving out is the inside of ourselves. And we're looking for Luke 17, go quick. Because I'm going to knock this out real quick and I'm going to have to tag you with a couple things, but we're going to be all right. Luke chapter 17, and you're going to know this scripture when I read it, but we don't ever, we rarely read on to see what's really going on or what state we're living in. And so it gets a little hectic. And I'm going to show you how important it is to know the Father inside of you. Matter of fact, a time is coming where nothing else is going to work but that. Now, you can say amen or oh me or however you want to say it. But there's a time coming, and it's here upon us right now, where nothing else is going to work. You're not going to have a reference to nothing else. Ain't nothing else going to work but knowing him from the inside. All the stuff outside going to start tricking you. Even the very elect. Jesus talked about that. Ain't nothing going to work but knowing who you are. Listen. So here we go. We know this part. And when he was demanding the Pharisees when the kingdom should come, he answered them and said to them, the kingdom of God coming not with observation. Out here. So you ain't going to see it nowhere out. You're looking over here. It's over at that meeting. Is that meeting? Nope. Oh. Verse 21, neither say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? So you've been looking for something that's been sleeping with you. You've been looking for something that's been with you since the beginning. You was looking for something that was put there with you as you since the beginning, and you had nothing to do with it, but it's all you. So we knew that part, though, right? Kingdom of God is within you, right? Everybody say, the kingdom of God is within me. Verse 22, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see him. And they shall say unto you, that's what I'm talking about, the day coming. And they shall say unto you, see here, see there, go not after them, nor follow them. Verse 24, as the lightning is lightning out of the one part of under heaven, shines to the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of the generation. Be rejected of a generation. Be rejected of this generation. And they got people in church rejecting him. Christians are rejecting him because they won't be him. They'd rather serve him than be him. They'd rather ask him to do stuff than do what he asked them to do. Verse 26, watch this. And as was in the days of Noah, talking about Noah. Watch this. It shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 27, and it got nervous for me because I could put it with another scripture. It says, and they did eat and drink. You eat? Answer me right now. Do you eat?
Yes.
And you drink?
Yes.
I ain't talking about like drink, but do you drink? Like you drink water?
Yes.
And they married wives and were given in marriage. Seems pretty normal, huh? Married, getting married. Let's get married. Ask the Lord for the one. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. All the people that was eating and drinking. As you keep reading on again, it says, likewise was in the days of Lot. They did eat and they drank and they bought and they sold. And they planted and built. They built it. But in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Whoa, but he didn't say tricking and thugging. They was tricking and thugging and sexing and killing and lying and stealing and the fire came. No, he's doing regular stuff that we do on the regular.
Yes.
Eating and drinking, getting married,
right.
Buying, selling, building, planting. And all them people got destroyed for doing the thing that they thought was the right thing to be doing at the time. See, the Son of Man going to come. But you're not going to recognize it. Another verse in Matthew says they couldn't even see the flood when it was coming. So how important it is to know who you are. He goes on talking about, and I'm going to read it fast. And thus shall be in the day of the Son of Man, verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. This is not talking about the second coming. The second coming gonna take care of itself. The Bible said, no man knows the day nor the hour, so why are you trying to calculate? It's talking about right now, when the Son of Man shows up, because you are the Son of God as the Son of Man. You are equal with the Father, and it's going to be revealed to you right now. It's being revealed to you at this very moment. But if I don't take what's revealed to me, I'm going to be eating and drinking and getting married and giving the marriage and buying and selling and eating and drinking some more and then building and planting. And when the flood comes, it's going to wipe me out because I ain't know who I was. I read a scripture earlier this year, and I've read it before. I read it many years, but it checked me because it said there's going to be some that say, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did all. He going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I said, hold up, Lord, that's me. I done cast out a couple demons before. I'll be doing stuff in your name. You're not going to tell me to depart, so I had to start checking myself. I said, that's wicked people. No, that wasn't wicked people. That was people that didn't know who they were. How does an all-knowing God, he's omniscient, right? How does an all-knowing God not know who you are?
Right.
Depart from me, I never knew you. How he never knew you? He know everything. That's not what he's saying. He said, you ain't know you. It shook me. It shook me into stop being all this stuff that everybody say I'm supposed to be. Oh, now I got to find out who Jesus, the true vine, says that I am and be that no matter what. Close everything else off to be that because I'm not going to get left in the flood. The flood will not come upon me. The flood can come, but I'm going to be hovering over it. I don't even need no ark. We got another level now. I'm going to be like this over the flood. Hold on. Got a minute. Listen. Remember the 10 virgins? 5 had all, 5 had didn't. Yeah, 5 was prepared, 5 wasn't prepared. When the bridegroom came, when he revealed himself, when he revealed another, it was time, for it was go time. They couldn't give their all to the ones that didn't have all. Nor could Noah open the ship for the other people. You know, they say God closed that door of the ark. I ain't gonna be able to help you. Ain't nobody gonna be able to help you but you. It's time to put down everything else that's given us an identity and get the identity of Christ. It's time to put down every other book and every other thing, and we better get in these red words and find out who Jesus is saying about us. John 14 and 15, you need to read it over and over and over and over again so you see who he's saying to you. Because when the flood comes, ain't no time to get ready. Y'all remember that last flood came in Baton Rouge? It caught us off guard. They got people that got water that never got water. Oh, it's coming. And you ain't going to be able to pray in tongues it away. Nope, it's still gonna come through your tongues. Amen. Stand on your feet.